This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It's one of the most stubborn barriers to curing HIV. The virus hides deep inside the body, lying dormant in white blood cells, ready to reactivate if treatment stops. But now, researchers at the Doherty Institute have pulled off a world first. They've delivered a message to infected cells telling them to expose the virus. And this is a huge step forward, and it's all happening right here in Australia. Joining us is Dr. Paula Saval, Research Fellow at the Peter Doherty Institute and co-first author on the study. Paula, welcome to Drive.
Hi, welcome. Good evening.
What exactly have you discovered, and why is it so significant in terms of HIV research?
Yeah, thanks. We've been working together with a very large team of people globally on this challenge that you've just described very nicely. That the virus is dormant inside your immune cells, and that ideally we want to get rid of all of these cells, because that would allow people with HIV to stop taking their daily antiretroviral therapy and continue to live a virus-free life. And for a long time, we've thought, or we've hypothesized, that if we can reveal that dormant virus, that would be a first step towards then eliminating it or getting rid of it. And so that idea is not novel. But we found a way to do that and to reveal that in a way that we haven't seen before. And that's really what's gotten us quite excited.
So for someone who is on antiretroviral therapy, they've got a viral load of undetectable. Do they still have the virus in these so-called HIV reservoirs ready to come out should their treatment stop, and therefore they could change from undetectable to detectable?
Yeah, so when you are suppressed on antiretroviral medication, you don't actually have the virus itself in your blood. That's the essence of undetectable. It means we can't detect any viral particles in the blood. That is the reason that you cannot transmit the virus to sexual partners or to an unborn child through vertical transmission. But there is a version of the virus that hides inside your cells, inside the DNA of our own cells. And that variant of the virus, that remains, that cannot be touched by current antiretroviral medication. And that is the version that we have to tackle in order to cure HIV.
Why has this been so difficult until now?
It's been very difficult, really, because HIV is just very tricky to deal with. The challenge that we want to reveal HIV is difficult because we need to do that in a way that we don't really affect the rest of the cell, or really all the other cells in the body that are healthy and are not affected by HIV. And that is really because the current status quo of taking daily medication is really good in many ways, in that people with HIV on antiretroviral therapy live a mostly healthy life. But we don't want any cure intervention to cause high levels of toxicity or adverse events. So it's been a very tricky balance to find something that does what we want it to do, and really kick that version of the virus out of its hiding place, but do so in a way that it doesn't affect all the other processes that need to happen in healthy cells.
We're chatting with Dr. Paula Saval from the Doherty Institute, where researchers have pulled off a world first by using mRNA technology to expose dormant HIV in infected cells. Just on that, Paula, essentially, is it the technology that enabled vaccines against COVID? Is that the technology that you've used in order to get these results?
Yeah, that's correct. So the mRNA technology that was used in the COVID-19 vaccines is really versatile and can be used for many more things than just for building vaccines. The best way to think about this is that the mRNA is like a recipe that will instruct you how to cook a delicious meal. And if you change the recipe, you'll provide instructions for cooking a different meal. And so we can change the mRNA to have it instruct to make different things. And so one of those things would be a vaccine, but we could easily design the mRNA to provide instructions to do something else. And so we've used the same mRNA technology that's not novel. We've just reused that. We've used the same method of getting that mRNA to the cell. That was also already there. But we've changed what that mRNA recipe instructs for. And we've provided more specific details in how that mRNA gets to the right cell. So it's very similar to what many of us have received during the COVID-19 pandemic, but with some essential changes that have allowed us to utilize that technology and apply it in the search for an HIV cure.
During COVID, we saw a rapid development of COVID vaccines based on the mRNA technology. How long do you think it could be before these results go through trials, clinical trials, and could be turned into something that can be given to people who are HIV positive and potentially cure them?
Yeah, I think the COVID-19 pandemic has definitely been very promising from that technological point of view, and that we now know that this therapeutic modality can easily be produced at scale and is also in that way safe in people. But there's a number of very important differences in that the vaccine is given into a muscle in your arm, and the therapeutic that we are developing would be injected into the bloodstream. And that also means that we need to do a lot of safety studies to really test that this new application of the same technology is still safe. Those are essential studies that we need to do. That involves doing studies in different animal models before you would progress to a what's called a phase one clinical trial, where you put it in humans to test the safety. And only after that could we start doing clinical trials where we actually look at the efficacy of the therapeutic that we are developing in revealing the virus and potentially getting rid of it in people with HIV. So however excited we are that we've sort of crossed this initial hurdle, there's many steps to go, and a clinical trial could possibly still be a decade away.
Paula, I mean, for those who've been living with HIV for such a long time, I mean, there's been lots of, I suppose, false starts in terms of finding therapies, treatments, and potential cures. Do you think that this is possibly the best hope so far that we've had?
I think that's hard to tell. There's always going to be many tests that we still need to do, so I don't want to give any further hope that this is going to be it. What I do want to say is one of the major reasons that we're excited about the technological advance that we made is that it can be used for other potential therapeutics as well. So to try and explain that in a bit more detail, what we have developed is a better way of delivering this mRNA to the immune cell type that is affected by HIV. And we are working with one of those mRNAs, one recipe that in our case instructs the virus to reveal itself. But there's other people in the world that are trying to get rid of HIV in different ways. And all of those could benefit from this mRNA technology and this delivery technology that we've developed. So even if our initial therapeutic may not eventuate, the technology that we have developed may help others that are globally working on an HIV cure therapeutic. And so we're actively working with as many people as possible to see if we can explore all the various methods. And hopefully one of us will actually be successful.
Paula, this breakthrough happened here at the Doherty Institute in Australia. Mm. What does it say about, I suppose, the kind of research and the innovation that we're leading on globally?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that we're quite proud that we managed to do this here in Melbourne, Australia. I think what it says to me about how we do research here is that Australia has got a very tight research community where we collaborate internally very closely. And I think that is illustrated by this study, which was a collaboration between virologists at the Peter Doherty Institute, for people who know a lot about HIV as a virus, but also people from completely different universities and different faculties, people who have a background in chemistry, a background in physics, a background in fundamental biology that doesn't have anything to do with viruses. And we've been able to bring all those people together within the Melbourne precinct and the Australian larger research community. And I think that's really allowed us to reach this innovation. And I think that's an absolute strength of Australia.
And finally, Paula, as someone who's worked so closely on this project, what does the discovery mean to you and the team personally?
I think I'm just mostly excited about the possibilities that it opens. Again, we have a long way to go until we can test this in a clinical trial. And however keen the entire research team is to try and pursue that, we're excited about the fact that it opens a whole new world of possibilities. We'd never really thought that we could utilize this mRNA technology in the pursuit of an HIV cure. And now it seems like we are able to do that. And that just allows us to come up with a whole range of new ideas that we can pursue that may all eventually contribute to the goal that we're all pursuing.
Paula, thank you so much for joining us and sharing this hopeful and genuinely exciting milestone. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. That is Dr. Paula Saval, Research Fellow at the Peter Doherty Institute.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.